Well, you may be seated. You can turn me down a little bit because I'm going to yell a lot today. Oh, not really. Maybe. You never know. So we're going to talk about baptism today. Before we get to that, we have to do a little commercial here. How many of you know that PBS, the Antique Roadshow, is now in its 28th season? Anybody know that? Oh, I know something you don't. All right. So how many of you actually watch the Antique Roadshow? Anybody? Well, there you go. All right. So has anybody ever sold anything? Because I don't know that they've ever been around here. Anybody ever been a part of that? I mean, that's my dream in life. I want them to come to Crystal Lake, and I've got this stuff in my attic that has got to be worth something, right? Otherwise, why don't I just throw it out? I mean, that's the whole premise of the show. They come to the town right then and there. They appraise whatever it is, your ancient Coca-Cola sign, the road signs that you, and I know you did this, you stole them. I know you did. And you said it just fell off and you picked it up. I know. You did that, this old coffee table. We've got this, it's the old Singer sewing machine. Hasn't ever worked, but it's got to be worth something, right? And it's in this nice little, this cabinet. Whatever you have, the goal is for that treasure then to be worth something. But let's do something else today. Instead of looking for an object that is a treasure, how many of you have any hidden talents that might be a treasure? Anybody? Anybody that can stand on their hands? I mean, that's really not worth anything, right? But you could do, anybody? No? When I was in grade school, I have this disjointed thumb that I used to impress the girls with. It never really did work, honestly. Still doesn't. But anyways, what about a spiritual talent, huh? I mean, we talk about physical things, material things. What about something spiritual? And so, in Christianity, today, still, and through the centuries, there have been those who have touted their special spiritual abilities, maybe speaking in tongues or maybe healing someone. The problem is that way too often, these are fake treasures. It's kind of like the woman who goes to the Antique Roadshow, and she's been divorced for a number of years, but she still has that wedding ring, that diamond from her ex-husband, and she thinks, well, I really don't need it anymore, so maybe it's worth something. And she takes this diamond, and then it's appraised, and it turns out to be nothing but cubic zirconium, and it's worthless. Well, this morning, we are truly going to talk about a spiritual treasure that way too often, as the people of God, we put on a shelf and it collects dust. Well, this morning we want to remember that great treasure, and that, of course, is your baptism. So go ahead and turn to your notes. And before we actually get to baptism, I want you to read with me this verse, if you can put it up there. Let's read it all together. But now, this is what the Lord says. He who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not. For I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. So, someone asked me, and you really have to do this, or I'm just going to quit right here. Someone asked me, so, Pastor, what does that have to do with baptism? Somebody, you got to do this. Pastor, go ahead. Very good, Larry. Thank you. Appreciate your asking. Well, it is all about relationship. We begin there. This is fundamental. In fact, it is foundational to our understanding of baptism. God takes his relationship with you, with his people, so seriously that he created this entire universe for you. This solar system, this planet, the sun, the moon, the stars, so we can have light during the day as well as during the night. the plants and the animals so you have food, that you have water, that you can have all the nourishment that you need. And so, you are no accident. Say to the person next to you, hard to believe, but you are no accident. You don't have to say the first part. You are no accident. God knew you. Understand this. God knew you before he created the world. Not just before you were born, but God knew you before he created the world. And he not only wants you to know him, but he wants you to know everything about him as well. Now, to truly understand this, we need to understand the context. So, this verse here, first one was from Isaiah, what? Chapter 43. 42 comes before 43. And if you were to have read Isaiah 42, you would know that Israel, the nation, God's people, his chosen people, have sinned. They have rebelled against God, and they have done it knowingly. They have done it brazenly. They have done it brashly. They have done it intentionally. And this is what God says: fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have bought you back. I have sacrificed for you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. God wants to know you not just on your best days and not just on a Sunday when you come to church, not just when you receive the Lord's Supper, not just when you're kind to your spouse or your children, not when you break for animals that are going across the street, but on your worst day, when you're ashamed of what you have done, when you have taken the Lord's name in vain, when you have hurt the people close to you, when you have even denied your faith at all, God still loves you. And just like he did with the people of Israel, he wants the entire world to know, I created you, and I'm going to be with you no matter what. In fact, even on your worst day, I claim you to be my own. God's love is such as if you've ever been to the ocean and you see the waves crashing, and it's wave after wave after wave after wave, and you can go out the next day, and it's the same thing, wave after wave, and you can come back a year from now, and it's wave after wave, and 10 years from now, and it's wave after wave, and that is how God's love is for you. It is relentless, and he never gives up. So we begin with that foundation. It's all about relationships. So tell the person next to you, it is all about relationship. Can you do that? That's where we begin. And then secondly, baptism connects our story with God's story. You see, this is the problem in the universal Christian church. People have lost sight of what is truly important in baptism. So how many of you have Baptist friends? Anybody? You don't get out much, I see. Okay. You know, what do you argue about with your Baptist friends when it comes with baptism? Two things generally, right? How much water? How much water does the Baptist church generally say you have to have? Lots, even that you have to be immersed, right? And as Lutherans, we do the minimum in all things. So just a little bit of water. That's all it takes, right? And the other thing is the age. Lutherans, Catholics, Methodists, Presbyterians, we baptize as babies. And most everybody else baptizes around 13 or 14. This morning at 8 o'clock, we had faith statements of our confirmants. It's that time of decision. Are you going to commit to Christ? So, well, if so, then you need to be baptized. But we've got the focus in the wrong place. It's not the amount of water, nor is it how much water is applied. Baptism in the Greek simply means to wash with water. Because after all, what would you wash with, right? You wash with water. So how many of you wash your hands? I hope everybody raises their hand, right? Okay, good. It needs to be washed if you're going to raise it. Wash those hands. How much water do you use? Just enough, right? You don't wash your entire body, perhaps, when you are getting ready for dinner. You wash your hands. That is washing. How about if I were to clean this little table? What would I use generally to wash this table? I would use a cloth, and I would soak it with water, not so it's dripping, but just a little bit, and I would wipe it. Is that washing? Say yes. That is washing. I'm not going to take this whole table and throw it in the river to wash it. Just a little bit. It is not the water. It is the water connected with the Word of God and the faith that it produces. And so the focus is often misguided. It's like the young father who comes to his pastor. He goes through the process. He has a little boy. He's just been born. He wants to know, you know, when can I get an appointment on the calendar? When can we schedule his baptism? And the pastor, rightly says, examines the father, and he wants to know, are you prepared? Baptism is a really serious thing for your family. He says, sure, pastor, we're prepared. We've hired a caterer, and we're going to have lots of good food. No, that is not it. Are you spiritually prepared? Well, sure, we've got a keg of beer as well. So misguided. It's the focus is not making our commitment. It's not about what we do. It's not a good work. It's not our commitment to God. Because it begins with relationship and God's commitment to us. Same God who knew you before the universe wants that relationship. He wants you to know him. And so it's his commitment to you. So the point, look at this verse. It was from the epistle. Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. When you're baptized into Christ, regardless of the age, it is God's gift to you. And what he is saying is, the same victory that was won by Christ on the cross over sin, death, and the devil is now your victory as well. And just as Christ raised from the dead, every day you raise to a new life where you're no longer a slave to sin. This is a gift. In it we receive forgiveness. We're rescued from death and the devil, and God gives us eternal salvation. So now, another question, and somebody has to ask this again, because it's one that I often get whenever we talk about baptism. So someone say, so, pastor, go ahead and say that, so, pastor, can someone be saved? Go say that. Can someone be saved without baptism? And the answer is yes. 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 Because baptism is a means of grace. It's the vehicle through which God our Father connects us to him. This is a means of grace, which you will receive here in just a few moments. Christ's promise that in receiving his body and blood, in, with, and under the bread and the wine, you receive forgiveness, new life, and salvation. And we go to this means of grace regularly. Both this and baptism are connected to what? The Word of God, which we hear regularly, which we read diligently. And yet God says, in your baptism, I promise, you only need to do this once because it's my gift to you. Baptism is a means to that connection. You remember, of course, the thief on the cross, right? Was he baptized? Not that we're aware of. And yet Jesus said to him, today you will be with me in paradise. That is eternal salvation. And in the Gospel of Mark, we read, those who believe and are baptized, what will be saved? And it's only those who do not believe will be condemned. It has nothing to say about not being baptized. In that tragic time, which happens sometimes in our families where the infant is born, and there isn't the opportunity yet for it to be baptized, we can rest assured that there can be faith simply from hearing the word. Even in the womb, as John leapt in his mother Elizabeth's womb at the mention of Jesus, it's by that same Holy Spirit that faith can be created. And so this morning, as we talk about why we are Lutheran on purpose, we have this tremendous gift. And like any gift that affects every part of our life, we should remember it regularly. So I want to encourage you to remember your baptism as well. So how many of you, I mean, it's a good question, how many of you remember your baptism? A number of you do. I don't remember mine. I was 2 weeks old. I don't remember anything from that time of life. And so again, when I was in Atlanta for those years and most of the churches around us were Baptist, we would talk about that whole thing. And generally, when I would talk about my baptism, I don't remember it. And then someone would say, well, it was such a tremendous religious experience for me. I was 14, and we went down to the Chattahoochee River, and there I was immersed. And it was just a great day, and we all celebrated. And I remember that. I can still feel the water, you know, surrounding me and how cold it was and the current. And I can tell you, you do not make good friends by ever disparaging their religious experience, so don't do that. But I can tell you that my baptism is just as important. When I was a few weeks old, I needed to have an operation. And I don't remember raising my hand and saying, you know, Mom, I think I ought to have this operation because it will help me be more healthy. But what happened? My parents said, little Larry needs this operation. We're going to take him to the hospital, and he's going to get the surgery that he needs. Let me ask you this. How many of you remember the day you were born? Anybody? Is your life important? Of course. It's a silly argument. Just because we don't remember it, it doesn't mean that it doesn't have any impact on our life. Of course it is. It's in that moment when our parents brought us to a font like this one at an altar in a church like this. Think of that. Not only you had parents who loved each other so much that they brought you into the world, but they loved you so much that they brought you to the font so that you could know the same relationship that they already had with God, their Heavenly Father. In fact, I would go so far to say that infant baptism is the act in the church that most accurately represents the grace of our God. That he would love us so much in spite of our sin that he would claim us to be his own. And so in infant baptism, we see that God's love is made real and concrete. And along with Martin Luther, I would say that the most comforting thing that I could ever say is this. I am baptized. Now, when you woke up this morning, what was your first thought? Mine was, oh, it's 6 o'clock and I have to go to church today. Tomorrow you may wake up and you may put your hand on your head and say, oh my God, it's Monday already, right? Let's try this. How about tomorrow you put your hand on your head and you say, I am baptized. Can you do that? Let's practice. Put your hand on your head and just say, I am baptized. And then celebrate this identity that you have. Because in baptism, you receive the name of Christ. It is your Christian name. And in that name, you also receive the identity of Jesus himself. And I'll close with this. There was a theologian by the name of Doug Meeks. Doug Meeks was on a lecture tour all around the world, and he happened to be in South Korea. When he was there, some of the people that were there said, you know, Dr. Meeks, you need to have someone make you a handmade suit, because the Koreans are known all around the world for their craftsmanship in making this kind of clothing. And he said, okay, so I'll do that. So he went to a tailor, and after he got to know the tailor a little bit, he found out that the tailor's name was Smitty Lee. Smitty Lee. And so he asked him, he had the courage, and he said, how do you get a name in Korea like Smitty? And so he told him the story. He said, well, in the Korean conflict, the Americans were here, and I was fighting for the South, and I signed up for the Army, and I got to know this guy. His name was Smitty, and we became really good buddies. And then one day, we happened to be in a foxhole together, and the enemy lobbed a grenade. And it was in that foxhole, and Smitty fell on the grenade. And he gave up his life for me. And so I decided to take his name and live for him. My friends, that is exactly what our God has done for us. Jesus willingly gave up his life for you. And in baptism, your relationship with that God, the one who gave up his life for you, was established, or it was strengthened. And now we have that opportunity because Christ has won the victory over sin, death, and the devil. And now each day in our new identity, we also can live for him. And I pray that every day, as you remember your identity, that you will celebrate that relationship that you have with Jesus. Amen. Amen.
At this time,